Well, folks, we're here for our culture segment, and we are welcoming back friend of Boundless, Asharita Chuchu. Asharita, great to have you here.
Lisa, thank you so much for having me back.
Wonderful. For those of you who are like, why does that name sound familiar? Well, one, because it's just awesome and unique, but two, because she was here about a year ago now, talking about her book Full, where she and I got very real about food fixation and other topics. That sounds like an album, Food Fixation and Other Topics.
It could be.
But now we're just going to talk about Jesus. So that's good.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we're going to do it. We talked about Jesus then, too. But it is Thanksgiving weekend, and you may be listening to this on Thanksgiving. You may be listening to it some other time during the weekend. And we want to prep you for Advent, heading into the next month, because we know you're all stressed out about 2020 and what's going on. And it's like your own life. It is politics, it's world events, it's whatever. But Advent is always the same every year in that we can pause and reflect and remember and look forward to the hope that we have in Jesus alone. And so Asharita actually has a book for Advent, which I was telling her before we started taping. One of you Boundless fans was just like, hey, is there a book for Advent out there? And I'm like, funny you should ask, because tomorrow I'm doing this interview. And the book is called Unwrapping the Names of Jesus, an Advent devotional. And it's just super great. And it's attainable. It is like doable.
It's short.
It's short. And it's, you know, I mean, you have definitely ideas in here that trend towards families and stuff like that. But really, there's just a lot. I mean, when you're talking about the names of God, specifically the names of Jesus Christ, it's just a great place to pause and reflect. And so we want to go into some of it. So
Let's
you ready?
Do it.
All right. So the first thing I want to talk about is, it's interesting because I think, you know, the cover of this is so awesome. I mean, it's got like, you know, gold leaf on it or whatever. Maybe not real, but it looks real. It's legit.
It's pretty.
It's holiday-esque. It's a very pretty book. A gift book, FYI. But anyway, it's funny because we would think that this is going to be all like warm and fluffy and just like, oh, let's just talk about the baby Jesus. But you actually have, there are some reflections in your own story that play into some angst around Christmas. And I know you describe yourself as having one good Christmas memory that kind of took you. You had returned. You grew up as a missionary kid.
Yeah.
Went to school here in the States, but you had returned. You had this one great memory with a guy that maybe you were interested in.
Well, to clarify.
Okay, please clarify. There were other good memories.
Yeah, there was. It wasn't all black and white.
Like, okay.
There were good memories mingled with hard, hurtful memories, and it wasn't like I wouldn't paint with such a broad brush, but by far the highlight, if I were to pick out one memory, would be my freshman year of college. I went back home in Romania for Christmas break, and there was this guy we had met in fifth grade summer camp, and all throughout high school he was just making it clear that he was interested, and I was going to be a modern day Amy Carmichael. I was just going to be single my whole life.
He said he was interested, so you just left and went to the States. Awesome.
No, we would have BTRs all the time.
Well, don't we all? Okay.
And it was like, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and I love you with the love of Jesus. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of cruel. But anyway, freshman year, Christmas Eve, we were caroling. That's my favorite Christmas tradition. And so we were, as a youth group, doing this together, and he slipped me a note. And he told me later it was kind of like his last-ditch attempt at just making clear that he wanted more. And at that point, God had done a work on my heart, and I was ready to risk a relationship. And it has been one of the most beautiful things, because that man is now my husband, and we have three children, and God has brought so much healing in my life through my husband, Flavio.
Well, and I think that's important to note, because I think a lot of folks would think like, oh, okay, well, you know, you grew up, you were a missionary kid, I'm sure Christmas was amazing, and And or they may say, okay, well, maybe that was really hard. You have a lot of hard memories and stuff, but then you got married and it all got better. But you actually talk, I mean, you took some fears into marriage of wondering, mm-hmm. is any of this going to change? Mm-hmm. And it took, I mean, you've been married, what now, nine and a half years?
Okay. Yeah, I was a bit of a Grinch when it came to Christmas, honestly.
Yeah. So, I mean, so this is quite the project for you to really pause and say, okay, let's look apart from circumstances, because mm-hmm. I think any of us can say, I mean, even if we don't have a lot of painful memories around Christmas and heading into the new year, I can honestly say that, you know, most years for me, we always look back on the past with some sense of wistfulness. And it's either like, I wish it would have been this way or it was this way. We have rose-colored glasses, whatever. But I think it's very easy for me to build up all kinds of expectations around Christmas and mm-hmm. around the end of the year. And then I'm usually disappointed with
it's
my expectations.
It's anticlimactic.
Exactly. I'm like, okay, that was pretty much like last year, or that was, you know, or I had family drama or I had whatever, mm-hmm. you know. This year, I mean, it's drama for me even figuring out like where I'm going to be for Christmas, mm-hmm. you know, because now not having my mom around and wondering, okay, am I going to go visit a sister or what? So there's always that sense, mm-hmm. I think, of a little bit of you know, just a letdown. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think it's great that, you know, there are definitely anchors to hold on to around Advent and around, you know, Jesus Christ. So let's just talk about Advent in general, because I like how you kind of give the illustration of like, you know, Christians used to be super big on Advent. Then it kind of became this like around the Reformation, like, mm-hmm. well, that sounds super Catholic-y and we're going to break away from the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
But I think there's a resurgence mm-hmm. in an understanding of Advent and its importance. And so talk to us a little bit about why it matters, because we don't want to prioritize it when there seems to be so many other things we have to do.
Sure. Well, I didn't grow up with Advent. So in my tradition growing up, we were very much rejecting rituals and routine mm-hmm. and traditions and kind of really focusing on spontaneous worship of mm-hmm. Jesus. And that can definitely have its benefits. But one of the drawbacks is that unless you're super intentional, you can get to Christmas Day and not have done anything to prepare your heart for Christmas and mm-hmm. to celebrate Jesus' birth. And so in college, I kind of stumbled on this notion of Advent. I was like, well, what's that? I thought only certain people did that, and I didn't think that was a great thing. And as I researched it, I discovered there was this richness to this tradition of setting aside the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas Day to truly slow down and pause and reflect on who Jesus is, what he's done, why he's come, and to prepare your heart to celebrate Jesus. And what I love, the word Advent means coming. And so I had always thought, oh, this is the time that we celebrate Jesus' coming to earth as a baby. And while there absolutely is that, Advent, in its richer, deeper meaning, also has an element of preparing our hearts to receive Jesus at his second coming. Mm-hmm. So all these themes of hope and preparation, joy and love, while they do apply to celebrating Jesus' birth as a baby, they also apply as we look toward his second coming. Mm-hmm. And that just made scripture come alive as I was going through the very first time going through Advent and unwrapping Jesus' names.
Yeah. And it is, I like how you have, and you just alluded to them, the four themes. Again, they are hope, preparation, joy, and love. And in that, you kind of break it down in detail, some of the names of Jesus that that can be applied there, which is neat. What would you say, you know, so for the person who's like, okay, so, but what does that actually look like? Because I think a lot of us are like, you know, we'll cast off this like, well, you know, of course I'm hoping for Jesus to return, mm-hmm. or of course I, you know, realize the importance of this time of year. But when you take it down into spending time reflecting on this, what would you recommend that look like? What's been really helpful for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, this whole book comes out of my own personal experience, because I was a new mom and I was sitting across the table from a mentor, and she just looked at me with this huge grin, and she's like, Ashreet, aren't you so excited that you finally get to do Christmas with your baby and start family traditions? And I looked at her and I'm like, honestly, not really. Like, Christmas does not hold that magical sense of wonder. And it's not because of my parents' lack of trying. It was just some of my personal baggage and history. So as I left that conversation, she had encouraged me to pray and to ask God to help me rediscover the joy of Christmas. And as I was praying through that, he led me to this idea of unwrapping Jesus' names one by one, mm-hmm. as if each name is a gift. Mm-hmm. The bread of life, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, the Holy One of God, our great high priest, and looking at each name as a gift. Mm-hmm. So each day leading up to Christmas Day, sitting down and meditating on a name, not because I don't know it. I heard someone else use this phrase and it just stuck with me. I think we all suffer from soul amnesia, mm-hmm. right? It's not that we don't know who God is. It's that we cease to be amazed. Mm. But as we slow down and we meditate on one name each day, that sense of awe and wonder comes back. Mm-hmm. And each name becomes its own gift. So imagine under the tree having 20 different gifts, and each one brings hope and peace and restoration and healing to your life. That first year, as I went through that process of unwrapping Jesus' names, my own soul came alive with wonder. And we got to Christmas Day, and I was just like, this is the best day ever. Yeah. And it was incredible. And just repeating that year after year, and now with my children, we do it in age-appropriate ways. But I loved seeing just tens of thousands of people around the world doing this with their families, so that Christmas isn't just about gift shopping mm-hmm. or decorating or community service or, mm-hmm. you know, the services at church, but it truly is this personal journey with Jesus. And I love that it's at the end of the year, because mm-hmm. it sets you up for the next year. You've just spent a whole month in intimate relationship with Jesus as you unwrap his names. Yeah. So as you approach the next year, you're like, I know who I'm walking yeah. through this year with.
Yeah. Okay. So I want you to think of one of the names that you unwrapped. And it could be, you know, this year, it could be when you first did this, whatever. Mm-hmm. And think of a practical application that God showed you, taking you out of the year into the new year, what that meant, to kind of make really put legs on this. And I want to, before you go, I want to share one that really resonated with me, because I think it's an unexpected one, and that is Man of Sorrows.
Oh, I was going to pick that one.
Oh, I already got to it first. So. No, you can share
your
application.
I'll pick another one.
Okay. Or I was going to say, or you can do your application of it. But just being like, again, this is not, I think it's so comforting to those that think that, oh, you know, we're going to go into Advent in this obligatory Christmas spirit of like, it's got to be some weird Hallmark movie or something like that. But to say, this is who Jesus was too. Mm-hmm. And you could have had, I mean, you could have had sorrow this year. You could be anticipating sorrow. You may be in a state of, you know, very much dread of the new year for any number of reasons, but to realize that that God himself, you know, Jesus took on flesh and became mm-hmm. that, and experienced those emotions and experienced the temptations that we experience, and to know that he had loss as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that for me has been so real in having to recalibrate my life, having lost, you know, my mom, and having to realize, okay, I'm now functionally an orphan, and having to realize even at Christmas, what does my Christmas look like now? Because it will not look like what it has in past years. And so I think that's one that I could sit with for quite a while in that sense. So how about you?
Yeah. And I think just to piggyback on that, like the beauty of Man of Sorrows, mm-hmm. that he experienced every kind of brokenness and betrayal and wound and hurt mm-hmm. That we carry. And he knows what it's like. We have a high priest, there's another name, who mm-hmm. empathizes with our weaknesses. And so we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Mm-hmm. We don't have to plaster on this fake smile and pretend everything's okay at Christmas. Yeah. Like Jesus gets it.
And I love the high priest, because it's not like he's just down in the mud with us like, oh, let's just be sad because we can't do anything about it. He actually can do something mm-hmm. about our, I mean, he's our advocate. It's amazing, because it's that understanding and identifying with, but also the power and the sovereignty to be like, yeah, I can actually turn this around.
Yeah. And you were saying earlier about basically Emmanuel, mm-hmm. God with us, right? Mm-hmm. He let go of the splendor of heaven and took on human flesh mm-hmm. and experienced what it is to be human. And so if anyone gets it, Jesus does. He is Emmanuel. But I would say if I had to pick just one name, mm-hmm. It would be the Good Shepherd. Mm-hmm. And over the past year and a half, just this name has become so dear to me. Right after my third son, Theo, was born, he somehow got meningitis. Mm-hmm. So we were, he was like 4 days old, and we were in the NICU with him. And I was listening to the sermon series on Psalm 23 and how the shepherd leads his sheep, right, and goes before them, and the sheep follow him. And there's this beauty even in John where Jesus says, I call my sheep by name, and they know my voice, and I know them. But there was this one phrase that stuck out. In Psalm 23, it says, even though I walk through the valley of death, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And in that hospital room, as I was holding my baby, and at one point, we didn't really know what was wrong with him. We didn't know if he would make it. I was listening to this sermon, and he was explaining that shepherds would go ahead of the sheep and whistle or sing, and the sheep would follow him. But when it got dark, sheep are not the brightest. and they would get lost. They wouldn't be able to see or hear him. And so what a shepherd would do is the shepherd would fall back and walk alongside the sheep in the midst of the flock. And it would be his presence and his smell and that sound of his voice that would guide the sheep through a dark valley. And just that imagery that Jesus as my good shepherd is here in this hospital room with me. He doesn't like walk before me. Mm-hmm. He walks alongside me. Mm. He's the good shepherd who knows the path, and I can trust him even in this dark moment, not knowing how it's going to work out. Mm-hmm. That name, the good shepherd, has just become so rich to me over the past year and a half. Mm. And to finish the story, Theo was miraculously healed, and there's no effects or repercussions of that. So we rejoice in that healing and in that answer to prayer. But that name of Good Shepherd has just stuck with me.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about practically living in December around all the expectations and the activities and stuff like that. In, you know, because again, you kind of jokingly said, oh, the book's short, you know, and it is, and it really is.
He's got time for another thing.
There's time for other things. But at the same time, you don't just want to be, okay, I'm just going to read these three pages and then I'm dashing off and I know you guys have made very deliberate decisions to not do all the parties that you need to be doing, or that people expect of you, to really proactively go into the season to be like, we're going to prioritize this and make sure it's meaningful and make sure that it is, you know, celebrated in the way we want to celebrate it. How have you made those kind of calls, those decisions?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's like 24 things that we could do, right? And there's this real fear of missing out because everyone's posting their highlights on Instagram or whatever social media. And so there's a sense of, I want to be part of everything, but I just ended up overwhelmed and frazzled by that all. So at the beginning of every December, my husband and kids and I will sit down and we each get to choose one thing. Like, what's one activity, one party, one concert, whatever. You each get to choose one thing that means a lot to you. And then we'll do that together as a family. And then the rest of the time, we'll just be home together. And that works well for us as a family. I know as a single person, maybe you want to be out more. You want to be seeking out those relationships and that community. But one thing that has really helped us in the midst of maybe other activities is to look for ways in which these activities embody truths about Jesus. Right. So one idea, for example, is as you're decorating the Christmas tree, think about how Jesus is the everlasting one. He is the resurrection and the life. Just as, you know, the reason we pick a Christmas tree is it's evergreen and it represents that symbol of life. Mm-hmm. Be meditating on that. Be worshiping Jesus as you decorate the tree. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you bake cookies for the mailman or the fire station or the homeless shelter, and look for ways to be the light of the world, because Jesus is the light of the world. And don't just do it to check it off the list, but do it really meditating on what truth does this reveal about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I find that there's so much joy that comes out of pouring out that love as we get filled up with the love of God during this season, to let it pour out through our lives into others.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, because I literally have never thought of that as I'm decorating my tree. So I'm usually thinking about, like, why didn't I wrap the lights better? So I'm not going to, like,
why are the lights tangled again?
Put a death curse on some people here out of this. Or being like, why aren't my ornaments as awesome, or this tree doesn't look as good? But it's funny because I did this last year and I'm going to do it again this year. I have an elderly neighbor who's 94, who's become a friend, and she's just precious and just the cutest little thing. And last year, I helped her decorate her apartment because she cannot lift boxes down. She can't step up on step stools. She can't, you know, do all that stuff. And so she and I just spent a few hours together doing that, and her telling me the stories behind her various decorations and ornaments. And just, you know, I mean, you're 94 years old. You've lived some life.
And it's a lot of stories.
And just God's faithfulness in that. So it actually became a great, just centering, awesome time with focusing on the Lord and on a friendship. And so it's like, oh, I definitely want to do that again this year. And
I
make
love
it.
That, Lisa.
And I don't have to be angsty about her ornaments because they're like hers. I don't have to be like, when am I going to pack all these things up? So it's just great in that sense. So, okay, last question as we finish up here, because I do want to, you know, as people are celebrating Advent, and again, we're talking about unwrapping the names of Jesus. I'm talking to Asherita Chuchu, heading into 2020. So how do we go into the new year having, you know, hopefully having done this and having really changed up the script for ourselves now in the next month, we'll see some noticeable gains there. I mean, it'll be like, oh, my goodness, this was valuable. But then it's easy for us to think, okay, but now it's January. Mm-hmm. All bets are off. I'm going back to my same crazy. I'm going back. How can we carry this into the new year and not get caught up in, again, the comparisons, the fear of missing out, the longing for what we don't have? What are some good practical ways to not do that?
Yeah, well, the one thing that comes to mind, and this isn't in the book necessarily, but the book will help prepare you for it, is learning how to rest in prayer. And I use that word rest as an acronym to guide me through my prayer. And so the R stands for recite God's goodness. And as you learn the name of Jesus, his different names, bring those to mind in January, February, March. You know, as you grow to know him, you will grow to love him more. But then recall those names in your prayers. So when you're facing a hard situation at work where maybe there's conflict with a coworker, you can start by reciting who Jesus is. You are the Prince of Peace. You promise to bring peace. You've brought peace between me and God, and you've put an end to enmity. And then you call me to be an agent of peace. And so from the R, reciting God's goodness, we move to the E, expressing our neediness. So maybe in this situation, you say, Lord, I don't have peace in my heart. I need your peace. Would you fill me with your peace? You promise that the peace of Christ would guard my heart and my mind. So I pray that peace over my life. Maybe there's something that you need to confess, an area where you have not been an agent of peace. Maybe you've said something or done something that has not been peaceful as an ambassador of Christ. So you confess that during that time in prayer. So the R is recite his goodness. The E is express your neediness. The S is seek his stillness. I think this is so hard, Lisa, because even when I pray, I tend to like check it off my list, right? So I talk, and I, all right, good talk, God, amen, and then I move on with my day. There's so much in scripture that invites us to just be still in God's presence, to know that he is God, to just be loved by him in his presence. So the S reminds me, before I run off, to just seek his stillness, to let his spirit move me or speak to me through his word, whatever it is that he would have me do in that situation. And sometimes it's just 10 seconds or 30 seconds. It can seem a really long time when you're not talking. And then the last step is trust his faithfulness. So whatever that situation is, if it is a coworker, then just trust that God will work in that situation, that he will be true to his promises, that Jesus will be the Prince of Peace, that he will empower you to be an ambassador of peace. So that's just a practical way as we rest in God's promises and his character of who he is, that we can spend this month of December learning these names and then carry them with us into the coming year.
Awesome. Well, folks, we are heading into December, and so you need to get on this. We want to make this book available to you for a gift of any amount to Boundless. You just go to boundless.org. You're going to see the super cute cover there. It is Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. We've been talking to Asherita here today, and so just click on that image. You'll see any gift you give to Boundless, we're going to get this book into your hands. So you might want to get a few copies because it's also a great gift book. So FYI. But, you know, it's just, it's something that you can do now in December. You know, you can take it into next year as well, but it's just a great, great thing to have and to give away as well. So, Asherita, thanks for being with us and just helping us kind of move into this month with a sense of purpose and confidence in God's will for us.
Lisa, thank you so much for having me. It was my joy.